Hello and welcome to We the People. After 3 days of terror in France, terror that began with an attack on the satirical magazine Charlie Hebdo's offices, the world is asking and debating how far free speech can go. Of course, there is unequivocal condemnation of what happened in France. In fact, the world has stood together to condemn it. But today, taking the debate beyond terrorism, we're looking at what lies at the heart of the attack on this satirical magazine. And that is the question of how absolute the freedom of speech and expression can be. How is India's own record on the subject? Is this a threat that is particular or most intense from Islamist groups? Or is this something that happens when it comes in confrontation with the orthodoxy of any religion? On We the People today, we ask who draws the line when it comes to free speech, and should a line be drawn at all? I'll start with you, Kamal Farooqi. Much of the Muslim world, and you know, you've seen protests and solidarity marches even in countries like Turkey, for example, much of the Muslim world has stood up to condemn what has happened. Yet there is a sense that Islam today is at war with itself, that there is a civil war within the frontiers of Islam itself to say what is permissible, what is not. I must ask you today, going beyond, I think, what we all share is our condemnation of what has happened in France, do you not believe that in the modern age, as Salman Rushdie said, religion ought to be able to be fearlessly disrespected if somebody wants to?
Unfortunately, whenever we start the discussion like this, the very first thing comes to Salman Rushdie.
It's unfortunate that we were the first country to ban him.
Yeah, that's maybe unfortunate or fortunate, that's another thing to be seen. The moment we start it, we start with that negative approach, in fact, when we discuss Salman Rushdie. Now, you talked about the Islamist...
I don't think it's a negative approach, but your freedom of speech.
This is my freedom of speech.
Yeah. Right?
So, as far as Islam is concerned, and within, you said the civil war within the Islam, I think this...
It is not.
All those people who are taking law into their hands, terrorist activities, either they are not Muslims or they have not understood Islam at all. And all those people who are trying to take revenge in their own name.
You condemn the killings. But will you stand up for the right? Will you say my religion is not so insecure that it can be reduced by somebody's cartoon?
It's not only my religion.
Will you stand up for anyone's religion?
It's not only my religion.
Faith can't be so fragile.
It's a society. Every freedom. See, it is not like that any freedom you can do anything you feel like. Every freedom has got, within quotes, some restrictions. We have to pay some price for it. And when we start going beyond this, no, I'm free. I can do anything. I'm pretty sure you cannot show all those things which the people may not like it on the television.
Okay, let me get in Zilla Khan. Zilla, one of the questions that strikes me today is that if Ghalib were alive today, would he be shot dead?
Would
he? If you remember his shade, you know, masjid mein...
Ghalib, sharab peene de masjid mein
baithkar... Ya wo jagah bata jahan khuda nahi.
Khuda nahi.
Now, today, this would be considered blasphemous.
Absolutely. This tolerance and this different kinds of intellect in literature is very important also. Makke gaya gal mukdi nahi, Ganga gaya gal mukdi nahi, Gaya gaya gal mukdi nahi. Nobody is so insecure about all that. More than that, it's yes, condemnable, yes, but also the intolerance of the West, of being so for finance sakes, for financial oil warfare or whatever, to start something also was very unnecessary. But I think the way forward only would be now for governments also.
Now, one thing that is important to say about the magazine is that it's been called anti-Islam by some. But it has done equal number of irreverent covers on the Pope, on Jesus, on Christianity, and had many more cases filed against it by Catholic groups than by Muslim groups. So it's important to set the record straight. My question to you is, if somebody tomorrow wants to lampoon the Prophet, do you think that's an invitation to terror?
I don't think it's very important to... be mean or unjust to somebody just for freedom of speech either. You can have freedom of speech.
So you're contradicting yourself, because Ghalib also questioned.
Yes. Yes, and nobody shot him, and we don't need to, because that is part of literature.
But then both of you are qualifying your defense of freedom of speech.
Not at the cost
of killing.
I just want to ask one question. Is there anybody has got any courage to write anything against Holocaust?
Of course.
No, but I
haven't. Nobody can do it. Nobody can dare to do that. Okay, nobody can dare to do that.
So, Sohail, I think the point that is being made is that there's a certain amount of Islamophobia that is disguised as freedom of speech. That's the argument that I'm hearing here, that it's easier today to lampoon Islam than it is to lampoon other faiths. But I will say again that Charlie Hebdo's covers actually were takedowns of many different faiths. They were perhaps in general anti-religion or anti-establishment.
I don't think we should be discussing Islam and Hinduism and Christianity. All religions have maniacs within them who go out of line and do stupid things by killing people who are just being satirical.
1 minute, please. All religions also have holy cows. All religions also have holy cows.
If you think the Ram Sena or, you know, when the Valentine's Day, those stalls weren't vandalized in Bombay.
Yeah.
We've had our fair share. We are increasingly becoming an intolerant world. We want to latch on to the last vestiges of security. And tragically, today, religion, which was earlier private, has begun to define us. As long as that definition continues, we'll be in trouble. I think it is upon leadership in theology, it is upon the political leadership to condemn every act of violence. Don't put an Islamic or a Hindu or a Christian color to it, because then what you will do is, you can't have an entire world up against 1.8 billion people who believe in Islam.
Therefore,
I mean, it's stupid to even imagine that.
But
so let's be logical.
But my question is, how far does this freedom of speech extend? Because that's at the heart of this debate.
There was a very famous judge, a Lord Justice in England, who said, the freedom that you have allows you to extend your hand right up to my nose as long as you don't hit me. The tragedy, Barkha, is you and I will never know what those boundaries are, because those boundaries are shrinking every day.
But who draws that line? And as long as we say, Ram Rahman, that a line can be drawn, do we not leave it wide open for interpretation? So are we then saying that there can be no absolute freedom of speech?
No, I mean, personally, I stand for absolute freedom of speech.
Absolute.
But, you know, we're living in a social reality, in different political realities, and different countries, different societies do have different values and even legal systems.
Right.
So, for instance, in France, if you can lampoon the Prophet as Charlie Hebdo did, they're not breaking any
law
in France.
Yeah.
On the other hand, we have laws which do cover issues of religious sensitivity, etc., which something like a cartoon lampooning the Prophet would definitely come under.
When you say you're a free speech absolutist, which is what you started by saying, would you then say that the cartoonists at Charlie Hebdo or Rushdie or Taslima Nasreen or M.F. Hussain, in many ways they all offended different faiths, but would you say they had a right to do so, that the right to offend is a key part of the right to freedom of speech?
Well, you see, the definition of offense, again, is very variable.
So how do we have this
now,
absolutism
you see, on now,
free speech? Where,
no, that's what I'm saying, that if, I give you the right to offend, but I also have the right to be offended. But that doesn't mean that I have the right to kill you.
Of course.
I think what Kamal said is, you don't indulge in violence. There are other ways of lodging your protest.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the ways that now perhaps France might consider is actually introducing or tweaking their legal system. Hmm. If this is the kind of sensitivities that something like this would arouse, in India we have laws which have to do with religious blasphemy.
Yeah.
So people are punished under those laws. The point is, you cannot not have laws and then expect people to follow.
But you know, many of our laws are questionable. I have Aseem sitting here, who's a cartoonist who went to jail on charges of sedition for his cartoons. And what were his cartoons about? They showed Parliament as a commode. They showed the national emblem with wolves instead of lions. And he went to jail for this.
Yeah.
So, kanoon hai iska ye nahi matlab ki wo theek kanoon. Nalini Singh, let me bring you in. It's not just about what's written on paper. It's about how many of us are willing to stand up and take the risk. And what is horrifying is that, is there a self-censorship that is going to creep in even more than there already is when it comes to artists and questions of religion?
I think the right to offend is an intrinsic right to the freedom of expression. The right,
including the right to offend people's very dearly held religious beliefs.
I'll come to the holy cows in a minute.
Yeah.
But also the right to mock power. What I notice is that we have precedents of freedom of expression going now towards restraint. And paradoxically, in the West, they had a precedence of restraint, yeah, now going towards freedom.
Yeah.
So what's happening in the West, and is coming here, it's probably come here. You want absolute freedom of expression, then you pay a Charlie tax of freedom of expression now. So are you willing to pay that?
You mean you have to pay with your life to get absolute freedom of speech?
Well, I'm saying Charlie tax, you call it anything. The other thing is that you also have to live within the law of the country. At least I would like to.
None of you agree perhaps agree with Salman Rushdie's statement which came out after these terror attacks, which said that religion must include the right to not just criticize and satire, but also be fearlessly disrespected.
Don't confuse Salman Rushdie's argument with this debate. Salman Rushdie and Richard Dawkins himself, they both are talking about how religion needs to see itself. Not in the context only of religion qua terrorism. I've always believed that religion should be private. The fact that we've made public spectacles of religion, that politicians have used religion to divide, is abysmal and reprehensible. The fact is, you have allowed religion and politics to intertwine. When that happens, you leave a society at peril because it doesn't know whether religion is political or whether politics should be
religious. But here's my question. What happens to the MF Husseins, the Taslima Nasreens, the Salman Rushdies, their examples, the recent protests against PKU? I come back again and again. None of you are actually standing up for 100% free
because
speech.
Because the law of the country...
You are Neeti, I haven't come to you yet.
But
one second.
I'll just say this very quickly. The law of the country, the Indian Penal Code, says you cannot go across these lines.
Yes, so but the law of the land also says that sedition is treachery, and so none of us agree with all the laws. The law also
but
has official secrets act, but as journalists, we don't agree
with.
Are you
sitting there and saying and inviting people to break the law?
I'm sitting here and saying some laws need to be questioned.
Correct.
Yes. Questioned.
Some
yes.
laws need to not yes. broken but questioned. So they need to be debated. They yep. need to be looked at with skepticism. It's not a holy grail.
Therefore, don't be politically correct in questioning them. I totally agree with you.
Okay. Rahul Ishwar, you said to me on Twitter, there's a fine line between free speech and hate speech. Another columnist of the New York Times argued that while the world today is standing up for Charlie Hebdo, most of these speeches that they were made on American campuses would have been shut down by peers on the grounds of them being
Absolutely.
Hate speech, on the grounds of them being bigoted. What's that line between free speech and bigotry?
There's a thin line between free speech and hate speech. And in Indian context, it depends on how much media support you get.
But the media leans towards absolutism on free speech.
Okay, if
I wouldn't say that it's completely unequivocal, yeah. but it leans towards.
If suppose
that has not helped Rushdie, that it did not help Hussein.
No, if absolute free speech means there is a freedom to protest too. I'm proud. I'm the first person to go against MF Hussein in the court, which we won the case. Especially,
see, you went against MF Hussein.
I went against MF Hussein, and you won. And this that is a freedom of protest too.
That was on an award in Kerala. It had nothing to do with the content of his painting.
It was the first case. No, the present Chief Justice of the Supreme Court gave us the verdict. He was the High Court Chief Justice then.
We pushed one of our most prominent artists into exile. He died in exile. Isn't that a matter of shame?
He spoke to Barkhadat itself and told, I'm going for money, I'm going for work.
That's
I want that interview. One. I'm equally offended by the innocence
what
of Muslims.
What choices did we give him? We vandalized every time he exhibited.
And he should have fought in the court.
Quick response and I want to go to the
Here is the judgment. This is the judgment of the Delhi High Court. Fantastic judgment defending Hussein. This was a major judgment which has been now a landmark on free speech in the Indian courts. It's a brilliantly written judgment.
But let's talk about
this
Hussein.
This is 2008.
Well, what would you say to the Hindu groups? You see, one, all of you so far, and there are others who haven't spoken, qualify your support for absolute free speech by the same yardstick.
No, I wouldn't fully qualify.
By the same yardstick, you could say Hussein offended some sentiments among Hindus?
You know, the whole issue is a complicated issue. And what Suhail said is totally correct. These issues actually have a political basis.
Yeah.
Now, I'm pretty sure those guys who went and killed those cartoonists were not actually religiously offended.
I can
almost guarantee you that.
Yeah.
They had a political motive. And, you know, this...
But I think that also goes to the heart of what Suhail said, that religion and politics are overlapping in a way that they never used to.
And each is feeding off the other.
Yeah, yeah. There's a political...
The tragedies, each is feeding off the other.
Neeti is a stand-up comedian. Do you find that you are tiptoeing around jokes when it comes to religion?
If I want to make my money, yes.
Because people will be offended.
I go to a corporate gig, the client is like, oh, don't do anything political, don't do anything religious, don't do anything controversial. Who defines what controversial is?
So, exactly. So there's this great New Yorker cartoon that says this is the only culturally, religiously, politically correct cartoon, and it has a blank frame.
I told him I'll just introduce myself and get off stage and hope like hell that doesn't offend anyone.
Yeah. But as they were talking about, so many cartoonists have been telling me that when it comes to religion, they do self-censor. And so many comedians have been telling me that as well.
And all artists now.
No, but we... See, I would self-censor based on my moral compass. But yeah. I can't censor someone else saying, ye aisa nahin karo.
So what do you what do you believe are the boundaries of free speech? Are you an absolutist or would you qualify?
To me, the intent behind the free speech, the intent behind what's being said, intent behind the idea is what's important.
But who can judge the intent? The cartoonists of Charlie Hebdo have been variously described as xenophobic, but they've also been described as people who just like to take down the holy cows of all faiths. It's interpretative.
I only googled some of their cartoons recently, honestly.
Yeah.
And they even have that one with the ISIS guy holding a machete over the prophet's head. And the prophet is saying, hello, I'm the prophet. He's like, silent, infidel. The intent clearly is making fun of extremists there. It's my interpretation, yes, but... To me, intent is the main reason behind it.
Aseem Trivedi, as someone who actually went to jail, aaj jab aap cartoons banate hain, to aap 10 bari sochte hain ki main aise karunga to mujhe phir band kar denge, aise karunga to mujhe phir kachehri le jayenge.
Main baaki zyada sochta nahi hu.
Baaki zyada sochte nahi hai?
Nahi, main pehle bhi nahi socha tha. Jaise ki abhi self censorship ki baat ho rahi thi, to ek ghatna mujhe yaad aati hai ki jab NCERT se kuch cartoons hataye gaye the, jiske bare mein kaha gaya tha ki kyunki Ambedkar sahab ka apman ho raha hai to dalitton ka apman ho raha hai aur bahut kuch logon ne socha tha. उस समय मैंने एक कार्टून बनाया था, ये करीब 2-3 साल पहले की बात है, और मैंने एक अंबेडकर साहब का कार्टून था उसमें और एक मोहम्मद साहब का, और मैंने एक जोन दिखाया था जहाँ नो कार्टून जोन ऐसा कुछ करके नाम दिया था, मुझे याद नहीं, काफी पुराना था, और मैंने देखा था कि एक व्यक्ति दूसरे से कह रहा है कि आपका भी यहाँ स्वागत है, आप भी सुरक्षित है. उसके बाद मैंने वो कार्टून फेसबुक पे अपलोड किया, फिर उसके बाद कुछ लोगों ने कमेंट किए, धमकियां दी, छोटी मोटी, कोई बहुत बड़े लेवल के नहीं, मुझे मानने नहीं आ रहे थे ऑफकोर्स, लेकिन मेरे तमाम दोस्त थे जिन्होंने 24 घंटे के अंदर मुझे इतने फोन किए कि भाई ये तुमको तुम तो मार दिए जाओगे, हमने सर्च किया है. और वो दोस्त ऐसे थे जो एक्टिविज्म में एक्टिव थे, मतलब यार जर्नलिस्ट थे या एक्टिविस्ट थे, मुझे कहते कि यार देखो ये रिकॉर्ड है कि कुछ नहीं हो सकता. और मैंने मतलब पता नहीं, मुझे लगा कि मैंने बहुत सोचा उन सबके दबाव में आके और मैंने वो कार्टून हटा दिया. पर अब यही सेल्फ सेंसरशिप है, एक जगह आप 12 लोगों को मारते हैं, इसका मतलब है कि आप पूरी दुनिया को बताते हैं कि आप ये काम नहीं कर सकते, और हम सब बैठ के यहाँ डिबेट करते हैं कि उनको मारना खराब है, लेकिन वो कार्टून भी, और फाइनली हम कहते हैं कि वो 12 आतंक जिन लोगों ने मारा है वो सही है. हम ये कहते हैं मारना नहीं चाहिए,
तो नहीं कह रहे,
माफ कर देना
चाहिए. कह रहे कि उन कार्टून को सेंसर करना एक तरीका है कहने का कि जिन्होंने मारा उन्होंने ठीक किया,
मतलब अगर आप कार्टून के खिलाफ है तो आप ये कह रहे हैं क्योंकि गोली नहीं मारनी चाहिए, मैं भी आपको छोटी सजा का बात कर रहे थे,
आप माफ करने की बात कर रहे थे. ग्लोबल मीडिया डिबेट गोइंग ऑन राइट नाउ ओवर वेदर एक्सप्रेसिंग सॉलिडैरिटी विद शार्ली हेब्डो शुड मीन द मीडिया शोज दोस कार्टून्स, एंड एवरी न्यूज ऑर्गेनाइजेशन हैज रेसलिंग विद दैट डिलेमा, डू यू शो द कार्टून्स, हैज द सिंबलिज्म ऑफ द कार्टून चेंज्ड? मे बी 5 years ago वी वुड हैव थॉट देम डिस्टेस्टफुल एंड ऑफेंसिव, टुडे हैव दे बिकम सिंबल्स ऑफ फ्री स्पीच इंस्टेड ऑफ caricatures of the prophet.
If the cartoons are being shown as solidarity with freedom of speech, it's fine. But there is a color where that freedom has become revulsion against a particular religion or against a group of people. That is bad. The point I'm making is, unless you're able to differentiate the two, and when you mix them both, you're going to create a severe problem. And I want to take off from where Aseem left. The biggest danger to this is fear. Freedom is contrary to fear, and you will prevent people from expressing themselves because they'll be second guessing the kind of response
the
that
consequences
they're gonna get.
Absolutely. So okay, Nalini, I'm going to start taking questions now. We're also bringing in an interview with Taslima Nasreen in a moment from now. Nalini, quick response.
You know, when you are actually indulging in censorship or self-censorship, you are actually handing over the trophy to those who started, those people who...
So do you think the media should reproduce these cartoons?
Well, I'm just saying, face the reality that you are actually... Now, if you don't censor, etc., then you're actually polarizing. So in either situation, it's a very, very... it's an extremely...
Rather, we should encourage people for non-violent protest. Let them protest.
No, I would
For example, the movie Innocence of Muslims is in bad taste. You know, I felt offended and I wrote as a protest. We had organized a protest, but it was a non-violent protest. Let that be the golden rule.
But Aseem is saying that when we choose to not publish these cartoons, we are in a way saying that these cartoons were good enough reason to kill for, although nobody is saying that. Nobody is saying that.
But that's the underlying thought.
I have a young man sitting here, Shahnawaz. On your Twitter page, you actually Are you a believing, practicing Muslim? Firstly,
I am.
Okay. On your Twitter page, you reproduced some of those cartoons. And did you stand there and feel scared that in your religion, this would be considered blasphemous?
Well, when I shared, I also wrote on Twitter that hui muddat ke ghalib mar gaya, agar zinda hota to aaj maar diya jata. I saw the cartoons that Charlie Hebdo made. I was a student of French. I used to teach French, so I could also understand what they were writing.
Yeah.
I didn't like them.
Okay.
Initially.
Yeah.
That I saw probably in 2001, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Now the point is, they were killed for making these cartoons. So creating a collage of these cartoons against the Prophet, against Jesus Christ, against corporates, against politicians, I made a collage and I shared it. Look, this is the cartoon for which they were killed. Because I know many friends of mine who do not like the name Salman Rushdie, who do not like the name Taslima Nasreen, they don't know what they've written. So I stand for their right of opposing or writing anything.
And
I may not like that.
And what I'm hearing you saying is that even if I don't like the cartoons, I reproduce them on my page because it's become a different debate today.
As Suhail said, it's in solidarity. I'll add one more thing. Now, if you see the cartoons that were made post Charlie Hebdo, you see the attackers, they are all having beard and turban. The attackers did not have.
Stereotyping.
This is stereotyping. Yeah. My father resembles these guys, not the attackers. I oppose that.
But, you know,
so I'll go
worry.
And write
that's
on Twitter
so
and Facebook.
But that's the worry.
But Kamal Farooqi, is this young man committing blasphemy because he's reproduced? Would you reproduce one of the cartoons of the Prophet as well?
It has one of them.
It has one of them, yes. So here's my question. This man is standing up. He's saying, mujhe pasand nahi hai. Lekin aaj ye free speech ki solidarity hai. He's a practicing Muslim. According to you, is he blasphemous?
Two things are there. This is a personal view, in fact.
Yeah.
He can, and nobody has got any right to bodily harm him because we do not have. As I said in the beginning itself, nobody has got a right to kill anybody because this is a...
I'm simply asking you, is this young man blasphemous? That is his personal affairs.
That is his personal.
He has a right to make his personal decision.
If he is not appreciating the values of Prophet Muhammad, or he does not appreciate the way,
or he chooses not to respect Prophet Muhammad.
This is.
Do you believe you're disrespecting the Prophet?
No, I'm not. I'm telling the world this is what these people killed. These people killed in the name of Prophet, and this is what they made. As one of the panelists told that the cartoon said that Prophet come. The title says, if the Prophet were to come back. And the Prophet is saying, wait, I'm the Prophet. And the ISIS terrorist is saying, shut up, you infidel.
So I'm telling the world
that this cartoon is trying to depict ISIS disrespecting the Prophet.
I'm just going to play out an interview with Taslima, but Zilla, quick response there.
Exactly on the same lines, when we was talking about Abida Parveen saying, Muzaffar Ali, Khuda hai, Mera Khuda hai, on an interview called Shakhsiyat. We didn't kill her. We understand her sentiments. So sentiments are also a very higher thinking aspect, which we can share and talk about. I've talked about it on my Facebook also, about accepting and tolerance, that it's a sentiment.
Very quickly,
you can take it, though it's blasphemous if she was
Saudi.
But
all of you are saying that yes, to not show the cartoons is a way of actually not expressing full solidarity, yet you're qualifying and saying it can't be an absolute freedom.
It can't. There is no such thing as an absolute freedom. It is only in television studios that you say absolute freedom. You've got a police guard with a gun downstairs at an NDTV studio, which has never happened. You had a journalist of Indian Express being beaten up the other day, Parveen Swami.
Yeah.
I mean, if this is the kind of nonsense you're going to perpetrate and the state is going to turn a blind eye because its laws do not yet recognize absolute freedom, there is no absolute freedom. Let's not be hypocritical.
Now, I want to play out Taslima Nasreen's interview, and I want all of you to react to it. This is Taslima Nasreen speaking to me a short while ago. One of the world's most famous dissidents, as it were, lived in exile herself for 20 years and was forced out of Calcutta, by the way, after Muslim groups protested against her. She now lives in Delhi on a one-year visa given to her.
Mamata Banerjee was the one who, in her so-called liberal avatar, forced her out. And it was the same Mamata Banerjee who didn't allow Rushdie to take part in a festival, much like the jokers in Jaipur who objected to Rushdie's presence.
Yeah.
So, you know, there is a commonality, and that's the political commonality that you see.
Okay. Now, my question to Taslima Nasreen is, when it comes to Prophet Muhammad, whom you know is worshipped and by millions of people across the world, and it is sacred to Muslims across the world, Taslima Nasreen, do you not think that one should respect those sentiments, and that if Islam feels that caricaturing the Prophet or even depicting him visually is wrong, then any artist should be mindful and not deliberately set out to hurt the sentiments of millions of people?
You know, artists, cartoonists, they make fun of Jesus, Moses, and other prophets. and religious feelings are hard. So should we go against free speech? I don't think so. Their feelings, you know, people have hundreds of different kinds of feelings. They're always hurt for hundreds of different reasons. So why religious feelings should not get hurt?
But can I ask you, there are those who've criticized the cartoons of Charlie Hebdo saying that they were not even funny. They were not satirical, they were not funny. Their aim was to insult believing Muslims, that they were to that extent Islamophobic. So my question to you, Taslima and Nasreen, is that to be anti-Muslim and to be satirical is not the same. Do you believe that there is a difference between humor and insult?
You know, I don't think that Charlie Hebdo's cartoonists are anti-Islam and anti-Muslim. Not at all. I know them personally, and they are atheists. They criticized all other religions, all other religious figures. If you go to the previous editions of Charlie Hebdo, you would find that they mock Pope and also other religious figures and all other religions. They mock Christianity. But always they had problems when they mock Prophet Muhammad. They didn't have any problem when they mocked Jesus or Moses or other prophets. It was a satirical magazine, and they may be not very tasteful. They didn't have very, you know, tasteful cartoons.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that they should be killed. You know, they have the right to mock Islam or any other religions.
But I must ask you to explain one of your other very controversial statements. You said only Islam kills in the name of religion, no other faith does. Why single out Islam? There have been other faiths that have protested. Charlie Hebdo itself had a number of cases by Catholic groups. Jesus Christ Superstar, when it came out, had Christian groups. So why single out your own faith and deride it as the most intolerant?
You know, Christian fundamentalists, they, you know, killed some of the doctors who worked in abortion clinic.
Yes.
And sometimes we hear that the Christian fundamentalists make some trouble. But you cannot compare them with Islamic fundamentalists. Yes. Islamic fundamentalists have been killing people in the name of Islam. They're slaughtering innocent people while shouting Allahu Akbar, Allah is great. And they're killing thousands of people every day, everywhere. ISIS, Boko Haram, Al-Shabaab, you know, Al-Qaeda, we know what they're doing. How could you compare them with some Christian fundamentalists or Jewish fundamentalists or Hindu fundamentalists when they oppose the, you know, some films or some cartoonists? I think it is not comparable.
Okay, how do you believe the record of India rates on free speech? And I ask you this because you're living in exile in India. You're living here on a visa from the Indian government. But you also wrote after the recent protests against the movie PK that if Rajkumar Hirani or Aamir Khan had lived in Pakistan or Bangladesh, they would have been in prison. Are you trying to say the Indian record on free speech is not so bad then?
She also needs a visa.
Indian record is not so bad. India is much better than Bangladesh and Pakistan. But
okay,
I shouldn't say that India is a good country for freedom of expression. Because I know what happened, you know, in my life.
You should live in Mars.
My book was banned. There are 5 fatwas were issued against me.
Yes.
They set, the Islamic fundamentalists set price on my head. I was physically attacked. I was forced.
We all know all this kind. We all know all this kind of thing. Don't try to be projecting.
West Bengal was banned.
Okay. Let her just finish her sentence at least.
No, but she
let her just finish her sentence at least.
She keeps on talking like this.
Okay.
And you know, instead of taking action against religious fundamentalists who issue fatwas, government take action against artists,
okay,
writers, filmmakers in India. And also, in India has laws against blasphemy, which are those
okay,
laws
we leave it there,
Taslima. Against free speech.
Okay, thank you so much for talking to us. I want all of you to react. Ram Rehman will start.
One very, very important point.
Yes.
That Islam, it's Islamic fundamentalism which has led to death and violence.
She said that.
Yeah. Now, we are only a few days away from the 30th of January. Do you all know what the 30th of January is? It is Gandhiji's assassination anniversary.
Yeah.
He was killed for his beliefs. And those beliefs believed in equality of religion.
But I guess she's talking about contemporary reality.
No, but that we mustn't forget this. We are living in a nation which has been formed by that.
Okay, now I saw that Kamal.
There is another fundamentalism. This is called liberal fundamentalism. Unnecessarily and purposefully provoking religions, purposefully hurting their sensibilities because she has an audience in West. I'm a proud practicing Hindu, but that doesn't mean every time a person talks against Islam, I get a kind of perverted pleasure out of it. Yeah. The Gandhian approach is a right way where intellectual criticism
but let me pose
a
slightly different question to Kamal Faruqi and Suhail and to anyone can jump in. Kamal Faruqi, suppose someone's an atheist. May I ask you a hypothetical situation? Suppose Suhail sitting next to you is an atheist, Ram Rehman is an atheist.
Not suppose, I am.
No. Okay, so Ram and Suhail are atheists. Suppose they turn around and tell you, Kamal Saab, we don't believe in any institutionalized religion. Will you say that they don't
perfectly
have the rights
fine.
To that opinion?
Perfectly fine, because
why did you disagree with them?
No, I disagree, number one.
This is not intellectual criticism. This is demonizing.
I have got great doubts about her intellects also, but I'm not going to discuss that at all. Masake, we know what kind of writings she has written.
Chalo, that's a separate argument.
No, why? Masake, when she must be ready to listen to all the, what she has written about her father and uncle and all those kind of things.
Yeah.
We don't want to discuss about all these things. My religion, I'm talking about Islam. Islam very clearly tells me in Quran Majid, you are not supposed to say anything bad about anybody, any religious prophet, any religious places.
Can I get Neeti and Aseem back into the debate? Neeti, you said you're a free speech absolutist. Do you believe that that should give space to a Rushdie to stand up and say religions can be met with fearless disrespect?
To me, religion is a belief. It's a kind of, it's an idea.
Yeah.
I can reject an idea. I can be against an idea. Why is that wrong?
But is there a way to express that disagreement?
Sure.
Should you be careful in the language you choose?
Would you be abusive?
Should you
be abusive to the other religion? I have got great respect for you. But would you be abusive to my religion or his religion or any other?
I wouldn't be abusive, but I would offer you a counter argument.
No, but what?
Yeah. Kamal Saab,
freedom of expression. You two have a holy cow. That's freedom of expression.
Who's my?
The left liberals have a holy cow.
I am not the left.
And remember,
I'm liberal, but not
left. Freedom of expression also has freedom to protest. Freedom of expression has freedom to protest. If Ramdev can call for a boycott,
peaceful protests are part of the
peaceful protest.
But I come back to my question, and Suhail, Nalini, and then Aseem. Is there a way you express disagreement? Is there a language that Richard Dawkins has to use when he mocks all faiths? Does he have to be mindful?
We all have to be mindful.
Right.
For the simple reason that we are now living in intolerant times, as I said earlier.
Yeah.
The response is so personal. The aggrieved parties take it as a personal insult. The problem, Barkha, is when politics and religion combined to bring themselves into the public domain, they made themselves available for derision.
But I want to put a slightly different. I want to put a slightly different question to Nalini and Aseem and Ram. Is faith so fragile that somebody else's disbelief, satire, even abuse, should weaken your faith? But isn't your relationship with your God stronger than that?
Barkha, I was just looking at, paradoxically, ironically, at the intolerance here when Taslima Nasreen was talking.
Right. Yeah.
Why would we, this lady has a sense of beliefs.
Yeah.
She's only articulating them. And she has, if she's using language which is excessive, certainly she should be given that message, and that's about it. There is an intellectual filter through which you have to see. I would say, going forward, anybody who's an extremist in any of these religions, you should bring them to justice in a very severe way, very quickly. But for the vast majority who are normal people, you have to include them in whatever life offers.
Okay, now you clapped when she said that there was intolerance. 1 minute, Zila. I saw you clapping when she said that there's also intolerance here. So what do you think, ye jo sari controversy chal rahi hai, aap kya bolenge iske?
Let us for a moment assume that Tasleema Nasreen was irrational and unscientific. I think this gentleman here should have been more tolerant and civil in refuting her claims and countered with a rational and a scientific way.
What if your faith were questioned?
I am a Muslim. I don't feel like my faith was in question because I believe that Prophet was the Prophet of Islam. And I believe no Tasleema Nasreen, no Charles Darwin or Hebdo can bring down my faith. It's because it's one people against 1.6 billion people. And I do not see why this is, in my opinion, a way to censor the views of Tasleema Nasreen. She has a right to speak. She has a right to criticize a religion. And I have a right to criticize her on that. Why do I not and try to gag her to speak her point? All atheists say that. Have you listened to Christopher Hitchens? Dawkins? That's how they speak. And religious people counter them rationally.
You mentioned Dawkins.
No, but he has an important
point. You mentioned Dawkins.
Eight minutes. I'm coming there.
There was a debate at Jaipur Literature Festival. Richard Dawkins and me on one side versus Swami Agnivesh and Aruna Roy on the other.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff was said. Not one person in that 7,000 strong audience got up and abused.
Yeah, and I think that's the important point that Aseem, ye jo ek ideas ka dialogue hona chahiye. Thoda uski space aaj shrink ho rahi hai, jahan par hum ek dusre se disagree kar sakte hain, lekin uske baad phir bhi chai ikatthe pee sakte hain.
Lekin ek khas baat dekhiye, isi bare mein kahunga ki hum baat hi nahi karna chahte hain. हम इस बारे में बात नहीं करना चाहते हैं कि मोहम्मद साहब का कार्टून या स्केच बनाना ठीक है कि नहीं. अभी बात हो रही है कि वो कार्टून इंसल्टिंग थे. अब मैं कहूं कि एक छोटा सा स्केच बनाता हूं मैं और लिखता हूं ये मोहम्मद साहब हैं, तो क्या ये ठीक होगा या नहीं? पहली बात, क्योंकि 5,000 साल या कुछ हजार साल पहले किसी ने किताब में लिखा था कि किसी प्रॉफिट की फोटो नहीं बनाई जाएगी, क्योंकि अगर ऐसा होगा तो लोग उसे भगवान मान लेंगे और वो फिर सबसे ऊपर हो जाएगा. उसको रोकने के लिए उसने ये किया तरीका उठाया था. पर आप सोचिए कि इन लोगों को मार के या इसको आज तक प्रैक्टिस में रख के क्या सबसे नुकसान हम प्रॉफिट मोहम्मद का नहीं कर रहे हैं?
क्यों कही थी
आज हम फोटो खींच रहे हैं, सिनेमा बना रहे हैं और उस बात के खिलाफ हम एक बार बोलने को तैयार नहीं
है. एक इंपॉर्टेंट पॉइंट है कि टू लिटरलाइज समथिंग दैट वाज रिटन थाउजेंड्स ऑफ इयर्स अगो मे नॉट बी द बेस्ट फॉर इवन दैट रिलीजन.
एक सवाल में बिल्कुल एक लाइन चाहता हूं कि क्या मैं प्रॉफिट मोहम्मद का एक सीधा सा कार्टून बनाता हूं, एक स्केच बनाता हूं, पोर्ट्रेट बनाता हूं, तो क्या ये एंटी इस्लामिक है कि नहीं? क्योंकि इस्लाम में लिखा गया है कि उनका उनको स्केच बनाना है.
मैं सपोर्ट करूंगा. आप सपोर्ट करेंगे?
हिस्टोरिकली
करेक्टली, मतलब हम लोगों को,
अच्छा उनको जवाब देने दें.
हिस्टोरिकली दिस नोशन दैट इस्लाम डज नॉट अलाउ the image of the prophet to be made is wrong. There are number of miniature paintings, very beautiful.
Go to the Metropolitan Museum of Modern Art in New York.
Let me just there are number of paintings of the prophet. His features are never depicted. It's a blank face. He's always depicted with a flaming halo. First of all, this, you know, these ideas become very simple and people begin to accept them without knowing the real history. We're talking about religious intolerance, but we have a cartoon exhibition from 1994, which was Cartoons Against Communalism, which was attacked by the RSS in Pune because of it depicting cartoons of L.K. Advani by R.K. Lakshman. So we have a history here of cartoons, you know, as he has been arrested. We've had a collection of cartoons by the most eminent cartoonists in India physically attacked by the RSS.
Okay, Rahul.
Freedom of protest should be there, and you know, all our Muslim brothers, I'm very friendly to them, they should be inspired to protest more peacefully. The point being, many a times this is used against, I'm sorry to say very openly, the Islamic argument is used against all religions. For example, if somebody is killed in Paris, that is used as an argument against all religions, saying that they are being intolerant.
Yeah.
Our Muslim brothers should be inspired to protest more peacefully.
But even governments now should help.
Okay, a few questions here and then final comments after
to
break.
Okay. Protest and
what you just said, you are talking about Islam to be more tolerant in terms of protesting. That's what you're saying. So why is it that the acts done by a few people, they are being represented as the teachings of Islam?
Correct.
Yeah. In the Quran itself, under chapter 5, verse 9, it says you don't have to give in to any kind of enticement. You have to deal with righteousness and justice. Mm-hmm. So don't say that only Islamic people need to change the way they are protesting.
But Barkha,
Sohail?
Jihad is not an invitation to kill, it's an invitation to die. The fact that the West perpetrated it. The problem is half the jokers who are going around killing people haven't read anything. None of the jokers who protest against Rushdie have read Satanic Verses. He's obviously read Tasleema Nasreen, so he doesn't like her.
But that's okay. That's his right.
Half the guys protest without knowing.
That's well, right.
People who protested against Hussein never saw his painting.
I saw his painting and I was offended.
You were offended?
Yeah. Rape of India was an offensive thing for me. But Hussein sir, and we had a condition too.
But again,
every politician.
We had a condition when we started the protest from the hotline, just one line. From the hotline Hindutva groups, we said we will never disrespect the painter but disagree with some
of the painters. But when exhibitions are vandalized, that is disrespect to the painter.
That is freedom in India.
A porn star becomes a movie star, a yoga guru becomes a politician, and a painter becomes an immigrant, and a guru becomes a hero.
Question here.
Why the people are speaking the freedom of speech only when they mock the Prophet of Islam? And
so you're saying Islam is singled out for to make fun of?
Absolutely. You know why in America or in the Western culture you don't talk anything about Holocaust? You cannot use the N-word. In America you'll be prosecuted at the same time.
Because
you guys are taking granted and you can mock the Prophet of
because
Islam.
Because when Tasleema says wrong things about Islam, we give her a visa. Extension visa. And when Hussein paints something, we send him to exile.
We're all speaking together, yes.
B.R. Ambedkar burnt Manusmriti in public in 1927, just to set an example. Why can't Islamic leaders have some Ambedkars come out of them and take a position against some of the redundant texts present there?
Kamal Farooqi, take that one, then I have to go into a break.
You tell me one single person right now. I'm not talking about Yaqub Qureshi kind of people who are doing it.
I hope we condemn the Yaqub Qureshi kind of crazy.
I have condemned it for the very first time itself.
Yes.
That he should be immediately arrested.
Yes.
But tell me, any Muslim, reasonable Muslim, have any slightest kind of respect for those people who in the name of Islam, in the name of Prophet Muhammad, killed those people?
Not at all.
Exactly.
Okay, I want to put a question to this audience,
but
and then I have to go
into... have Sufi Islam, you know, so don't... I mean, Islam is not...
And Rumification.
It's not monolithic.
It's not just the Wahhabi Islam.
Yeah, it's also Rumi and so on. Okay, a question to this, question to the audience. Those of you who think free speech can be absolute, raise your hand. Absolute. Free speech can be absolute. Very few hands going up. Ram Rahman and Neeti on the panel and one young woman here. Yes.
Yeah. So I think that when free speech is absolute, we say that we are liberal. And then we have those
qualifications of ifs and buts. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we have the society coming in. Then we have the politics coming in.
Yeah.
So in a country which claims that, yes, we are free, I am very sorry, but in this debate, I could not even hear it from the panelists that what is the line and where the line?
Okay, we'll take
a
quick break.
I said about the nose, you didn't hear?
But who defines? Okay. We're taking a quick break. Final comments from the panel. You haven't convinced her. You haven't convinced her. And she makes an important point that when you mix social pressure, religious belief and politics, where's the free speech? Coming back with last comments after the break. You're watching We the People. When it comes to the collision between faith and free speech, who draws the line? Before we take final comments from our panel, let's take a few questions. Ji, aapka sawal.
Yeah, I being a Muslim myself can assure that Muslims are not insecure about their religion. If someone makes a sketch of Prophet Muhammad, they are not insecure. But it's that they have huge respect for him. They get offended by it. And I'd like to make one more point that Islam is a religion of peace and humanity.
So you're saying that your religion is not so insecure. Let's take final comments now. Aseem, aap se shuru karungi.
Hum sab bahut purani kitabon mein uljhe hue hain. Un sabko jala dena chahiye. Naya samay aaya hai. Unme kuch badlav nahi kiya gaya hai bahut lambe samay se. Aur sabse badi baat hai agar main kahun ki main congressi hu kyunki mere baap congressi the aur wo congressi the kyunki unke pitaji congressi the aur kyunki mere bacche bhi congressi honge to yahi to hum yahan kar rahe hain ki mere pitaji ke pitaji hindu the to mere pitaji bhi hindu the to main bhi hindu hu mere do bacche wo bhi hindu honge unki shaadiyan bhi hindu gharon mein hongi hum mazak kar rahe hain कब तक इस मूर्खता को ले जाएंगे आगे, कब तक उन पुरानी किताबों को ढोते फिरेंगे जिनमें किसी ने देखा भी नहीं है कि अब क्या बदलाव होने चाहिए। 5000 साल या कई हजार साल पुरानी किताबों को डिफेंड करेंगे आप लोग, क्यों नहीं जला देते, क्यों नहीं कहते कि सब गलत है, मूर्खता है,
तो सही लिखा जाए, कुछ नया किया जाए, इसको बदला जाए। किताब को पहले क्या किताब से डिसएग्रीमेंट तो नहीं,
कौन मुस्लिम हो सकता है,
किताब को जलाना नहीं चाहिए,
रियल वर्ल्ड इंडियन कॉन्स्टिट्यूशन
किसने बनाई है,
क्यों ऐसे बर्निंग बुक्स, व्हाई टॉक अबाउट बर्निंग बुक्स,
इज द मॉडर्न डे गुरु दत्त,
मेरा मतलब जलाने से, मेरा मतलब उसको हटाने से, भूलने से है, उसको डिफेंड करने का समय नहीं है, उससे आगे बढ़ने का समय है।
नालिनी
I think Barkha, I think Asim probably means reform. And he probably means reform in Islam and in major religions. Yes. I think that's an excellent point. That there will be, there will have to be somebody or some force that actually starts reforming and saying that these are probably things that we can now move on from.
Yeah.
But I would say, looking at the audience here, I repose full faith in young India.
Yeah.
Look at the way they've responded.
Yeah.
And I think that they are saying they are not insecure about the religion. They are saying, why are you not listening to somebody who's another voice, an atheist voice? This is the young India that's going to...
Let me give Shahnawaz the last comment there. Shahnawaz, you want to add to what you've heard so far?
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy with the kind of debate we've had, the kind of response people have had.
Yeah.
I would just like to say that, see, I stand for freedom of expression. I could have stood for freedom of expression absolute, but then they are stereotyping. There are people who would use the absolute freedom of speech, like a Subramanian Swami can go and ask me to get my DNA tested that my forefathers were ancestors. that I would not want to happen.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
We should be tolerant.
Right. Fair enough. Ram Rehman.
Well, I think that we all have to remember we are talking about this incident which happened in Paris, which involves Islam. But we mustn't forget that we are sitting in India where we've had great intolerance, particularly recently in recent speech. We've had all this,
Nobody's been killed in India.
No, nobody's been killed in India, neither have the millions of people come out on the street. Hmm. I mean, you have people in Parliament going on about, Haramzade, Ramzade. Hmm.
Cabinet Minister.
Yeah.
You have this love jihad. I mean, extremely inflammatory stuff.
Yeah, Oasi, all these.
And we must, you people have to stand up against this.
Okay, Rahul, everyone 30 seconds each, please.
There are two approaches. One is a negative secularism, second is a positive secularism.
Yeah.
Our idea should be Gandhian idea, where the greatest contribution of India is a spiritual secularism or a secular spiritualism, whichever way you want to brand it. Rather than negating and abusing our religions, the approach is positively appreciating the nice point and reform.
Neeti, last thoughts. Last thoughts.
Controlled freedom is like slightly pregnant. There is no such thing.
Zila, last thoughts.
Not religion, but Sufism is a very beautiful secular way since many thousands of years also in Islam.
Kamal Saab,
pretty freedom, good. Freedom does not mean absolute thing. You can say whatever you feel like. You can harm anybody. You can abuse anybody. But this is not. So we have to be within some kind of...
Sohail, you
but under no circumstances,
is violence justified?
Any Muslim or any other person is supposed to kill a person of whom he doesn't like his right.
Okay, Sohail, you said it's about, when it comes too close to punch your nose. Who defines that distance?
Society, because that's the law. And I just have a slight disagreement with Nalini and Asim. Don't reform religion, reform yourself. Mm-hmm. Religion will take long. And finally, you can never be too thin, you can never be too rich, and you can never have complete freedom.
I cannot agree with that, because I think that what is written is important. And therefore, reform yourself, and some reformist will come along.
Okay, we'll
that's fine. So reform yourself.
It's a don't
burn books. Burn hatred.
Don't burn books. Burn hatred. I think that's something we can agree on. Thank you very much.